Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real good. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio, which means it's 6 a.m. How do you do, dudes and dudettes, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages? Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you this lovely, lovely Thursday a.m. Hope you're well. Hope life's just been, spectacular for you. Has been for us. We're doing great. Thanks for asking. Very kind of you. We got a show lined up, kids. You know how Thursdays go. You know how Thursdays go. Thursdays get they get busy. They get heated. They're big time. All right. We got a lot. We got Lulu Kessin at 8 a.m. to go ham, talking about the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department. We'll check in with what football has been up to the last couple of weeks since the finale of the 2024 college football season. Got a couple of news and notes. Your boy Lenora Sellers getting a little cat.
He won an award.
That's the one. That's what I was going to say.
He did
win an award. So we're going to tell you about that, talk with Lulu about it and what she sees out of that young man moving forward. We got Rashad Beard coming up at 8:40 this morning. One of the things I love about my guy Rashad is that Rashad Beard gets into the draft talk like months in advance, like way out. So we'll see what Rashad Beard has got for us in terms of what the off-season plans of the Cats in silver and blue look like. That's at 8:40. 9 o'clock. We do have a little shifty shift in the 9 o'clock hour. Ordinarily, Hayton S. Mario would join us in the 9 o'clock hour at 9 o'clock. Today, he joins us at 9:20. We have to flip Mario in Fight Club. Mario's got a doctor's appointment early in the a.m. He's going to be joining us at 9:20, which means Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, is going to be straight up 9 a.m. Your home for combat sports in the upstate. And as far as I know, and I could be wrong about this, the only show in the upstate that talks MMA, boxing, and professional wrestling is the Rob Brown Show. Fight Club coming up at 9 a.m. on the dot. So we'll get into all of that. Outside of that, we got a lot of other stuff we got to get to on the radio broadcast today. A lot of other stuff we got to talk about on the program. How about this? We had a story a couple of weeks ago when college football went head to head with the NFL. Straight up head to head with the NFL. And the NFL won, like by a lot. Like the NFL won a lot. There was definitely a little bit of a fade off from NFL ratings overall. Definitely noticeable. College football, on the other hand, saw like a huge swath of their normal audience fall off. And we talked about that. At the end of the day, though it may not be true in every region of the United States of America, nationally, the NFL is king. It just is. It's not necessarily that way in large chunks of the southeastern region of the United States. But nationally, the NFL is, was, and remains the king. College football came at the king, and they missed. Now, there are variables to the equation. I think you have to include in the equation the reality that the two games on Saturday that were up against the NFL games, not super attractive games, with all due respect. Clemson at Texas was, what was it, a 13, 12 and a half, 13 point spread? Not super attractive. And the other game that went up against the NFL was Penn State versus SMU. Not super attractive. Like, these are two of, if not the two teams that people pointed and said, why are they in while Bama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, even at 9-3, are out? We all feel like, I mean, South Carolina did beat Clemson. And just about everybody felt that if they could beat Clemson, and yep, you got to be careful about the transitive property of college football, but if South Carolina beat Clemson, it's okay to argue they'd have beat SMU, who was right there with Clemson, but did lose to the Tigers the next week. So these were the teams that were being pointed at least two of them, Clemson and SMU, that they put up against the NFL. And the NFL whooped in the ratings. I tell you that to set up this. So the first round of the NFL playoffs, ratings fell off 10% from last year. 10% from last year. That, in television numbers, is a lot. Is a lot. For a sport that, in the playoffs, ordinarily is going to get, you know, 20 million viewers for an NFL game, that means they lost 2 million viewers per game. That's a big fall off. So my question is, as all good questions start with, why? Why did it fall off 10%?
Well, some things I think factor in is the overall viewership of that kind of TV being down probably. And the other thing is, are they factoring in the streaming? Because most of these games are also available on Peacock or Paramount Plus or some other streaming entity.
My understanding is that TV networks do count their streaming content towards their viewership ratings. Over the last couple of years, Nielsen, which is the company that most of these ratings come from, and there are, listen, like anything else, there are critiques about the system that Nielsen uses. Is Nielsen a bit archaic? Is it a bit old school? I know that, for instance, most, not all, but most radio stations have begun to move away from Nielsen. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of the reason is that with the advent of technology in vehicles, a lot of stations can just track using the radios connected to the tower how many people are listening and when and where, etc. But with TV, Nielsen is still pretty much the draw when it comes to calculating ratings. And Nielsen does include, according to artificial intelligence, searching the web on my behalf because I am lazy and busy, but lazy. Nielsen measures live DVR, on-demand, and streamed content. So they do count streaming content from Hulu, YouTube TV, Peacock, Amazon Prime, whatever the streaming service is. Now, They apparently have like a way to separate those, but they do include them in the overall. So this is, with the exception under understanding that there are many a people out there that pirate streams now. Okay? I'm telling you, not because I know if any big time government authorities are listening right now. I don't know this. I would never. But
sources tell you.
Sources report to me. Sources that I will maintain their anonymity with strict regard. Sources have informed me.
It's journalistic and integrity.
And of which I'm just made of it.
Yes, of course.
Okay? I don't need to come in here and tell you, hashtag sources, trust me, bro. Sources tell me, though, unnamed, unidentified sources that I will protect their integrity till my dying breath. Sources tell me, Lonzo, that there are just there are websites that are really easy to get to where you can just click a button and watch a game. You don't have to stream a damn thing. All right. Or I should say, you don't have to pay for a streaming subscription. There are just websites you go to, click a button, wango bango, you're right there watching that game. Now you're gonna be 10, 12 seconds off the pace. But you can't do it. Speaking of, as a brief aside, I think this is worth bringing up. But Adam Schefter is allegedly getting busted up for watching NFL games on an illegal stream. He shared a clip on Twitter of a touchdown from a game. From the Houston, New York Jets game from a couple of however many weeks ago. And Schefter put up a clip on his Twitter account, and up in the top left corner of the screen cap that Schefty posted, which has the NFL and Prime, Amazon Prime logos in the top right corner, over in the top left corner, there's another overlay. I hesitate to tell you the name of the overlay because, you know, I don't want to get labeled as responsible for driving people to an illegal streaming site. But I have to tell you what it is because, well, you'll understand. Schefty put up a screen cap of a picture with the Prime logo, the NFL logo in the top right, and an overlay up in the top left corner of methstreams.com.
Wait a minute, meth? As in,
yeah, like not Mike Tyson saying it's sloppy, like, oh, you made a meth. No. M-E-T-H, methstreams.com.
Like methamphetamine.
That would be it.
Okay, all right.
And
so maybe even more wrong than what you thought.
Here's what I'll tell you. What I did yesterday, in case Captain America Chris Evans down the hall and the gang are listening, is on my personal computer, I went to messstreams.com.
So not your work computer.
Not on my
computer.
Work computer. You went, I got my laptop. My work laptop is this one.
The one that you're beating on.
Doesn't matter. Look, did you see what they did when they handed it to me? Look at this.
Yeah, I was there.
This was documented.
Yeah, I
okay?
was there
I didn't do
when,
it.
When he offered it to
the corner
you
of this laptop
and
is.
Told
is,
you that it had been, yeah, but.
Yeah, when they were like, here's somebody else's one that's already broke. Have it.
It's about the innards, man.
It is. It works like a dream. Works better than my last one did. Anyway, the point here is I went to messstreams.com on my personal computer yesterday, and after the Schefty story broke, with Schefty apparently showing a screen cap from the illegal stream, that site, when you go to it now, I'm not encouraging you to. I'm just saying this is what happens. When you go to methstreams.com, which could provide a very, 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 very different type of content, has a message up from whatever person it is that runs and organizes this website that says, I am taking a break from streaming for some time. That's how much traffic Schefty drove to messstreams.com. That had the opportunity.
Or the feds, whoever it is who cracks down.
Oh, no, for sure. Listen.
Yeah.
For sure. I bet Schefty drove a bunch of traffic there, and the dude running it was like, nope, absolutely not. Because I have seen, again, not me, I have not seen. It has been reported to me by anonymous sources, hashtags trust me, bro. It has been reported to me by anonymous sources that the feds really do crack down on these illegal streaming sites. Really do. And that some of the bigger ones around America, the more well-known ones that made their way around the Reddit, Reddit message boards, have been shut down and commandeered by the feds. You go to that website, you get a website that has the FBI logo on it and a big disclaimer that's like, hey, idiot, don't do this. We've seized this domain. It's ours now. Of course, they usually just pop up another website and it takes a little while to disseminate it. Again, allegedly, I don't know this for a fact. But anyway, Schefter put this out. And so I do think there is the question mark, as there has been for a while now, of what percentage of...
But really quick, so he's so cheap, he can't buy a service? I mean, dude makes more money than us combined like 20 times over. he can't afford it. All right.
Prime's like $100 a year, Shefty. It's like $100 a year.
Or if you buy stuff, like... You buy a certain amount, you like get it free.
I don't know. I got that Prime membership, which I'm ashamed of, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I really like it when the guy just brings the bacon to my house. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Like, I'm ashamed of giving more money to Jeff Bezos. He doesn't need it and he shouldn't have it. But also, you know, daddy wants a new TV and they'll bring it right to my house. I don't know what to tell you. It kind of sucks, but. I'm convenience over principle sometimes is
Schefter's
what I'm saying.
Fall from grace is slow, but it's
controversy number two. Yes. Controversy number two. I want you to know, I don't care about this at all. I really don't. I don't care. Like, I only care in that Schefty is 1,000% gonna get the discipline from the league for sure. ESPN is.
Because you would think him being him that maybe and receiving memos from the NFL that he would get this stuff free.
I mean, again...
Oh, that memo thing was not...
No, I know. I'm being a smartass.
Yeah, so why is he not getting his stuff for free?
I don't know. Here's what I do, though.
Unless the NFL operates like some companies where you work for a sports place, but you still have to pay for, you know, all your sports subscriptions. Maybe that, you know?
Oh, I thought I was just looking around. No reason.
The camera's over there.
So, there is a fair question to circle back around to this. There is the question that is a fair question to ask of what is the amount of streams, illegal streams, that do not count towards the NFL's television ratings? And I don't think the answer is zero, but I also don't think it's 10%. And I know that because whenever I have heard friends say, I can't watch the game. I don't have Paramount Plus, as there was an NFL game on Paramount Plus last weekend. I don't have Amazon Prime, and I'm not giving Bezos no more dollars. And I'm like, well, I'm not saying I know what they are, but I've heard of these websites where you can stream these games for free. And most of them are like, I don't know about that, dude. I don't know that there is it. I don't know how to work it, yada, yada, yada.
That's the equivalent of you being a pusher.
And correct.
You wouldn't do that.
Correct.
So like, you know, I got your fix, that type of thing.
Correct. So, I don't think it's 10%. So, what led to a 10% ratings drop with the National Football League? I have a theory, and I'll tell you what it is when we come back. I'm Rob, he's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on a Thursday a.m. Welcome in, dudes and dudettes. Great to have you. Rob, the great Milonzo with you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. 10% ratings drop in the NFL for round one. Now, that is a cumulative number. Shocking to exactly no one. Obviously, the ratings, were different on a game-to-game basis. The game between the Rams and the Vikings on Monday night did pretty traditional Monday night football ratings. There were other games like Texans-Chargers that did not. They saw the biggest drop-offs. I wonder about this. What is the reason why?
I would think for that game, it was foregone conclusion that the Texans were going to lose. Everyone knew that the Chargers were going to beat the Texans, so some people decided, yeah, I'm not watching that game.
So I have some thoughts, and that is one of them. I have some thoughts. I want to start with this. Number one, we all claim that we want parity in the league. We all want parity in the league. We've all wanted parity in college football. That's why we went to a 12-team playoff, aside from making a metric buttload of money. We want parity. We want more teams to have more genuine opportunities to win. We want better games across a wider swath of games. We want parity. That's the claim. However, I would say that that is kind of a lie. I don't think that's, I mean, I do think it is the truth, but I also think it's not really the truth. Let's see if I can explain this to you. We want parity because parity makes it feel like the majority of us who root for average teams or below average teams, parity leads you to believe that, hey, one day maybe we'll steal one, right? Like one day we'll snag one, right? Just law of averages says if my football team plays 100 years, like they got to stumble into one at some point, right? My Saints stumbled into one in 09. That's not true. We were really good.
Say, I don't know if there are still some teams who have never stumbled into a Super
Bowl. Hi, Atlanta! 28-3, baby. The point here is parity makes us feel like we have a chance. Our team, our guys have a shot. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. Do the math if you want to. I don't. I'm lazy. But one thing that is painfully and obviously true is that Americans want to watch excellence. And we have crossed the streams, so to speak, that excellence means kicking everybody's ass. We want to watch teams go out there and dominate. We always have. The most popular team at any given moment is whatever team is kicking a bunch of ass. Always has been. Always will be. Zoe, here's a question for you. Over the past, let's say, 5 or 6 years, have you noticed an increase in Kansas City Chiefs fans?
I have seen more gear out there for sure.
For sure.
Lots of celebrities.
For sure.
Things like that, yeah.
Back in 2009, a young and formidable Rob Brown was finishing up his college career. And before you go, wait a minute, Rob, that was 6 years after you graduate. I understand. I was paying for it year by year as I went, so I took the slow train. All right? Get off me, dog. But in 2009, a young, handsome, formidable Rob Brown was finishing up his course of studies at my alma mater, the University of West Florida. Go Argos! And as I was finishing up my course of study, the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. And wouldn't you know it, Rob Brown showed up the next day when I had fully recovered. I had purged the Super Bowl victory potions of my body. And when I went back to class, wouldn't you know it, shocks of shocks, there was Saints gear everywhere. It was everywhere. I walked into my college class, which was, what class was it? Oh, it was, I don't remember the title of the class, but it was Broadcast Ethics, Communication Ethics. Mark Lambert was the professor. He was a baseball player at Penn State back in the day. Super dude. I walked in. And there was like four people wearing Saints gear. And I was like, no, 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 bleep you, bud. Get out of here. Absolutely not. I've never seen you wearing this stuff before. And now that my squad is GOAT, this is how you're going to. No, it's not going to happen.
The Chiefs thing doesn't count, though. We can't really put that in there. because a certain celebrity started dating one of the players, and now Swifties everywhere.
I would agree, but yeah, I would also say it's not like you guys weren't seeing the bandwagon increase in the pre-Tay-Tay days, the before days.
True, but now it's exploded exponentially to the point where you can't measure.
But you were growing bandwagon fans pre-Tay-Tay. Now you got Tay-Tay.
To the point where I sometimes people look at me when I'm wearing Kansas City gear, and I think they're...
They look at you and they go, big Taylor Swift guy. He's clearly in this.
They may think that, or they think bandwagon, even though I've been wearing Kansas City stuff forever.
Oh, there she is.
No, this has been broken forever, and it hasn't been replaced. So if you grab it the wrong way, I am talking about a fader, by the way. If you grab the fader the wrong way, the would you consider this a button?
No, it's a slider.
No, this part.
No, it's a that is the slider.
No, the slider is this metal piece, right?
I think
there.
It's all one thing.
Well, it should be.
It's not anymore. Lonzo couldn't get the volume up, and I looked over, and he's just holding the knob to the slider up in front
of me. Again, this has been like this for when did Cole start here? That's just maybe a coincidence.
There were some lazy narratives out there this week.
Well, that's not lazy.
All right, detective work. So, let me get back to the thought here. The reality is, as Americans, we watch excellence. When I ask you this question, and sincerely, how many bowl games did you watch? Right, that was our poll question of the day a few days ago. How many bowl games, non-playoff bowl games, did you watch? And most of you said that you watched 3 or 4. And I called you all respectfully dirty liars. No, you didn't. Stop lying to me. No, the hell you didn't. The TV ratings for bowl games are non-existent. No, you didn't. Okay? You watched yours. Maybe you watched the rivals. Maybe. But you didn't watch 3 or 4 or 5. You watched 1 or 2 tops. That's just what the numbers on TV say about these bowl games. How many of you watched the playoff games? Well, so far, about 14 million per game. About 14 million per game watch the playoff games. We want to watch excellence. And then when you start to break it down by, and obviously college is a little different because teams like Ohio State and Notre Dame obviously have a much larger fan base than a team like SMU. But
they both also have an abnormal amount of haters who will watch to see one or the other.
The haters.
Lose.
I mean, again, so let me finish the thought there, because you are correct. Just looking at the situation from the other side of the prism. We want to watch excellence. And that includes when we want to watch excellence finally get toppled, right? We want to watch excellence. We want to watch the best players / teams in the game. But sometimes we want to watch them because we want to see them lose too, right? There's the Chiefs, if they get back to the Super Bowl this year. I think this is going to be, especially if they go play Detroit. If the Super Bowl is Kansas City, Detroit, I think we might have one of the most watched Super Bowls in a very long time. And the reason for that is this equation. On one hand, a lot of people are going to watch the Chiefs because they want to see a team go get the three-peat, something that's never been done in the National Football League. But you're also going to have an abnormal amount of non-Lions fans who tune into this game, not because they're like super duper over the moon pumped up about Dan Campbell and the Lions, but because what? They want to watch to see Kansas City not get the three-peat. We like to watch excellence. We also like to watch excellence be destroyed. America's a country that loves it some destruction. What was that movie, great one? I don't know if you'll remember it off your top of your head. There was an Eddie Murphy movie from 100 years ago where he was this like enlightened, almost like monk-like character, and they started using him like some Home Shopping Network TV exec started putting him on the Home Shopping Network because he would like talk to the enlightened, wholesome aspect of people.
I know what you're talking about, but I never saw the movie. I remember that was during the time where he was putting out some really bad stuff. So
this movie, I don't remember what it was called. I got to go find it. Holy Man, I think. Maybe it was Holy Man. I want to say it was Holy Man. It doesn't matter. The point is, there's a scene in that movie that has stuck with me for a very, very long time. Eddie Murphy is on the Home Shopping Network, and he's talking about communicating with the audience. And he says, if I asked you, would you rather me sit here and paint the Mona Lisa from memory, a perfect recreation from memory, the most famous painting maybe ever from memory, or take a chainsaw and destroy everything in this studio piece by piece with a chainsaw, the majority of you would pick the chainsaw destruction because we are so ingrained into being entertained by destruction. And that, for whatever reason, that's really struck me. It's been that scene, not even the whole movie, not even the name of the movie, but that scene stuck with me.
You're talking about the walls or just the things on the wall?
No, he was like,
I'm talking about the chainsaw. Now I want to see a chainsaw.
Right, no, that's the point, right? Yeah, the point is, he said, if I told you that I was going to pick up a paintbrush and paint and recreate the Mona Lisa from memory perfectly, or destroy everything in the studio with a chainsaw, most of you are going to say the chainsaw. And I was like, oh, crap, he's right. But in sports, that attitude remains the same. For every Chiefs fan tuning in to see the three-peat, there's going to be everybody else fan tuning in to watch them get denied, right? But here's the thing. If I look at the first round, did we see greatness or did we see parity? The Bills smoked the Broncos. The Ravens smoked the Steelers. The Texans smoked the Chargers. The Rams smoked the Vikings. The Eagles smoked the Packers. There was one competitive game, Commanders-Buccaneers. There was one upset, Commanders-Buccaneers. My question is, with all of those games, did we see excellence? Or did we see kind of what we've always had, which is we go in knowing there's like four teams, and that's really going to be it? Because that's kind of how it feels. And I feel like that's a bit of a turnoff in a year that was really good parity-wise. I feel like it was kind of a turnoff in the playoffs. Now that we have games that we feel are going to be more competitive, will those ratings bounce back? All right, let's take a break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Join our live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, because I am a young, cool millennial who understands technology. Join us across our streaming platforms, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, or The Fan Upstate on Facebook and YouTube. So, talking NFL football in round number one of the playoffs in the back pocket, moving on to the divisional round this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. There is one game that has a spread of a field goal or less. That's Bills-Ravens, which I don't think is necessarily surprising to anybody. The Bills at the crib taking on the Ravens.
It's the most coin toss game out there.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Eagles-Rams, although I got to tell you, the closer we get, the more solidified I'm becoming in my take that the Rams are getting the upset in this one. They are six-point dogs. The Lions-Commanders, I'm a little less confident in, but I still think it's very much a potential upset. The Commanders, however, a 9.5-point dog on the road in Detroit Rock City. Kansas City, 8-point favorites over the Texans. That number's shocking to me, honestly. If the Commanders are 9.5 dogs to the Lions, I don't understand how the Texans are just 8-point dogs to the Chiefs.
Because how they played last week and the fact that the Chiefs starters, much of which haven't started in I think it was 24 days or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't play week 18. But I think you guys ran the starters in week 17. I mean, yeah. It wasn't like, I mean, they took, I mean, it's been well, 2 weeks.
If I recall, they had to solidify, maybe?
No, I think you wrapped it up in 16. If I recall correctly, 17 was, he didn't.
It's been a long time, dude.
Yeah, he didn't directly say it, but I think Andy Reid basically said, taking a full month off is too much. Right, even as good as we are, taking a full month off is too much. And take 2 weeks off, 3 months is not going to be it.
And they also still need to work on chemistry with guys that have just come back, like Hollywood Brown and
for sure.
Guys like that. Yeah,
for sure. So I will see. But the point here is, if we're going by what Vegas is saying by these lines, even the divisional round of the playoff doesn't have nearly the amount of parity that we've said we've asked for. Now, would if the Commanders had beaten or had not beaten the Buccaneers, if this was Tampa Bay as the 3 seed, they would have gone to play Philly. I think that number probably would have been a field goal. I think that number would have been Philly at the crib -3, maybe 2.5, maybe 3.5, maybe. But it'd have been in that range. So I one of the things that I would point out here when we are discussing parity in the division around, of which, based on the Vegas spreads, there's not much of. I also have to point out that the Rams, back in round number one, were dogs to the Vikings. They won by 18. The Commanders were dogs to the Bucks, only 2.5, but they won by a walk-off field goal. And so if we're talking about parity, I don't think it's as bad as it looks on the surface level. But I also look and I go, I mean, are any of these matchups, aside from Bills-Ravens, of the other 3 matchups, do any of them scream, this is must-see TV to you? Are there any of these matchups that you look at and go, I can't? I got to tell you, like, respectfully, because I know the Texans played well against the Chargers last week. Chiefs-Texans on the 18th, on Saturday at 4:30 in the afternoon. I got stuff happening. Like, I'm going to have it on, but, like, I got stuff to do on Saturday.
Well, even the Detroit game's on right after that, so they put both those games on Saturday.
They did, the 2-1 seeds. And again, the spreads in those games are 8 and 9.5 points, respectively. So I guess that's kind of my point, is like, we say we have great parity in the league. Is that true? Is that true? When 3 of our 4 divisional round games are touchdown or better spreads, one of them is dangerously close to being a 10-point spread. Do we really have parity in the league? I don't know, man. I will say this, even if we don't, the fact that Detroit a lovable loser 3 years ago is now coming in as an overwhelming favorite to go to the Super Bowl. At least it shows you can go from the dregs to the top, but it takes something special, like a Dan Campbell. All right, we'll talk more about the NFL bracket as we go. Let's get to a phone call, Lonzo. Who we got?
We have Kane, who surprisingly wants to talk about Detroit.
Shocking from Kane. Welcome to the show, big dog. Good to have you on the phone line, brother.
Hey, hi, Rod. How's it going?
Living the dream, bud.
Oh, that's good. I wanted to talk about, make a comment on what you said about bandwagon fans.
Mm-hmm.
I make a confession, I am one with the Detroit Lions, but it's out of necessity. I have never been an NFL guy. I love football. I've always been a Clemson fan. Never been an NFL guy. I've never been for the Panthers or anybody else. But my kids recently have gotten into sports, and so that has reignited my love for football. And I've been interested a lot more in the NFL. So last year, you know, I was watching the playoffs and just trying to figure out who I was going to root for. I've seen the Lions' story and what they've come from, and I love an underdog, you know, beating the odds. So that's my team. And this year that's been my team, and I think it's probably going to always be my team for the rest of my life.
I respect that, Kane. I do. And I got to tell you, like, Detroit.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's a former host on these stations who would say, you cannot do that. You absolutely cannot do that.
Listen, I.
Well, I'm not going to be a Panthers fan, and I'm not going to be a Saints fan.
By the way, I'm fine with it.
Why would I do that?
I'm fine with it. I choose the team you want to root for, especially in the NFL, because a lot of people live in areas where there is no NFL team.
Ken, you could be a Saints fan, and the reason for that is that Saints fans are traditionally very handsome.
I hear you.
Appreciate it, big dog. Good to have you on the show. Listen, first off, welcome back to the land of footballing. It's great to have you. As an NFL fan.
Well, it's his first time being an NFL fan. And I wonder how many guys out there who are probably college-only guys, because that's how Kane sounds, like he was a college-only guy, and then got into NFL, and now they're hooked.
I think that, Kane, when it comes to the concept of bandwagoning, I would go with this. Nobody, okay, rephrase that. Most people don't enjoy inflicting pain upon themselves.
I'm glad you said most people.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people very do. In various aspects, locations, and rooms of their home, some people do like self-inflicted pain. Right. Makes them feel alive.
All right. You sound like you know about this, so you probably should move on.
I mean, I know people.
I hope you don't. I hope that's just thing on TV and it's not really true.
No, it's absolutely true. There are for some people, the minutiae of day-to-day doesn't give them anything. It doesn't give them emotion. And the only way to feel, this is the entire emo movement. Like, this is where Fall Out Boy comes from. Some people like to hurt. Just to have Johnny Cash very famously saying, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel, right? That's what that is. That's picking the Panthers to be a fan of. I don't think it's going to be that way for very long. Let me be clear. I have been the only Carolina Panther optimist on this station for like 2 years running now. All right. But the point is, if you were just coming back to being an NFL fan, jumping on board and picking the Panthers would be painful. Jumping on board and picking the Saints as a Saints fan would be dumb. Unless you're not really doing it because you love football, you're doing it for the social element. In which case, be a Bills fan or be a Saints fan. Ain't no party like a Bills Mafia or a Who Dat Nation party. There's just not.
But, you know, if you're jumping on right now in the Bills party, it's a one-week party.
I don't know about that.
Because they're gone after Sunday.
I don't know about that. They are dogs in this game at the crib. We'll see. I actually am picking Baltimore in this game, but we'll circle back around to that. If you're going to jump on board, yeah, you're going to jump on board and pick a team that is at the top of the game. And for the last couple of years, Detroit has been very threatening to get there, and it looks like this year they have, barring all of the injuries to the defensive side of the football. But what I'm saying here is there is positive and negative for the NFL. The positive here is that this is a Lions team that is not tragically far removed from turning in 0-16 seasons. This is a Detroit Lions team that is not far removed from Calvin Johnson going, yo, bleep this, this sucks. I'm just retiring. I don't even like football anymore because of Detroit. And now they hit on the combination. They hit on Dan Campbell. He assembled an excellent group of coordinators and coaches. And now the Lions are 9.5-point favorites to reach the NFC Conference Championship. So I guess the question here for me is, where do we as fans stand in our breakdown of where the NFL is today? Because on one hand, it feels like there hasn't been this much parity in the league in a long time. On the other hand, it doesn't really play out in the bracket, or at least it doesn't feel like that, right? Like in the AFC side, it feels like there's three teams that could legitimately go to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the 1, 2, and 3 seeds. On the NFC side, it feels like there's, again, I went with the dark horse pick in the Washington Commanders before. I think the LA Rams, I honestly think your NFC title game could very well be a 4-6 matchup of the Commanders and the Rams. But we'll address that with some official picks later on in the show. To me, when I look at this, I'm looking at this and thinking there's three teams in the AFC. Realistically speaking, there's like one favorite over in the NFC, and that's the Lions. I don't think that there's no parity in the league. But I also think maybe it's overhyped a little bit. It kind of feels like, and this is what Lonzo said earlier, whether it was caused by the media, whether it's true that the fans genuinely feel this way, however it plays out, to me, it kind of feels as if Detroit, Kansas City feels like an inevitability. I don't think it is, because I think the Bills and the Ravens are both good enough to beat Kansas City. Not that they will, just that they could. But it's been painted as Chiefs-Lions is an inevitability. And I wonder, great one, how many people tuned out because they go, it's like an NBA game. I just need to watch the last 3 minutes of the game. I don't need to watch 3.5 quarters. I just needed to, because every NBA game may be a blowout in the start of the third quarter, but then all of a sudden it's a 2-point game with 2 minutes left. And the playoffs, for most people, not for me, the playoffs for most people, it kind of feels like they think the inevitability is it's Chiefs-Lions, and everybody else is just playing for some notoriety. And I wonder if that has anything to do with a 10% drop in the first round ratings of the National Football League. Where do you stand? Do you think there is as much parity in the league as ever before, a similar amount, or is the whole parity narrative overblown as a selling point by the league?
I just think the drop for that particular week is because everyone believed that how it was going to go went. I mean, the only real surprise was the Texans beating the Chargers. And when you look and go, yeah, I got stuff to do, but
Vikings was a surprise to
win.
People?
They're going
to
win? No.
I mean, not to people who listen to this show, no, because I told you it was going to happen.
I don't think it was a surprise.
No. Okay. I don't know, man. I don't know. I do think the first round was, by and large, super attractive.
The true test will be Sunday, Buffalo versus Baltimore.
I mean, that is the one good game. There's four games this weekend. I honestly think three of them are going to be very good. I think the Chiefs are going to blow the Texans up. I think the Commanders are going to make it more interesting with the Lions than most of you think. I think the Rams are going to beat the Eagles. And Bills-Ravens, obviously, as a 1-point contest is very interesting. I wonder if the ratings reflect that. We'll see. We'll see. And does anybody care? I don't even know if anybody cares about it. Let's take a break. You know what I do know people care about? The top three sports stories going on today. That's what the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet is for. We'll do that at 7 o'clock. Lulu Kesson talks Gamecock Athletics at 8. Rashad Beard talks Panthers at 8:40. We got Fight Club at 9 a.m. Hayton asked Mario at 9:20. All of that after Lonzo Shefty's you with his sports flash.
What? Show illegal viewing of NFL games? No, I will not do that. The South Carolina Gamecocks dropped a close contest to Vanderbilt on the road, 66-63. The Gamecocks shot over 42% from the floor and allowed Vanderbilt to shoot 41%. But with 11 more attempts and 5 more three-point attempts, the Gamecocks turned the ball over 25 times. You do that, you're probably not going to win. The Charlotte Hornets are making trades. The Hornets sent 7-footer Nick Richards and a second-rounder pick to the Phoenix Suns for forward Josh Okogie and 3 second-round picks, and sent a 2025 second-rounder to Phoenix in return for a 3 second-round picks, 1 in 2026 and 2 in 2031. It's a lot of transactions there. Tune in this Saturday at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. It's Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home Furman Paladins basketball. It's us. It's here. It is the Fan Upstate.